Welcome to Charities at Work, a podcast of Catholic Charities USA, the national office for the Catholic Charities Ministry in the United States and its territories. Our podcast focuses on the mission of Catholic Charities, providing service to people in need, advocating for social justice, and inviting all people of goodwill to do the same. Welcome to Charities at Work, a podcast of Catholic Charities USA. Our topic today is care for creation, or taking care of our natural environment, which is one of seven themes of Catholic social teaching as outlined by the U.S. bishops. Be sure to check out the other six episodes as well. Today, we're talking with Kim Burgo, Vice President of Disaster Operations for Catholic Charities USA, and Scott Hurd, Vice President for Leadership Formation, also at CCUSA. Scott's going to talk with us a little later about the practical implications of caring for creation. And Kim is going to discuss with us now some of the theological principles that ground the Catholic faith's understanding of taking care of the environment. Kim, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. I know you're very busy with all of your disaster operations responsibilities.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Some people who are perhaps unfamiliar with the Catholic faith, or maybe even some Catholics, may be a little bit surprised to hear that the church is concerned about the environment or caring for creation. So why is it that the church is concerned about creation and the earth, taking care of the environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So within the Catholic faith, one way that we show our respect for God is by taking responsibility for being a good steward of creation. In other words, by individually being responsible for and being in charge of overseeing and managing the care for all the earth and all creation, we are living up to that component.
So this is something that God has called us to do. It's a responsibility, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, care for creation is not just an earth slogan. It's a required component of the Catholic faith. We believe that we're called to protect people, not only the people who inhabit the planet, people in our neighborhoods, people in our families, but also by living our faith and having a relationship with God's creation, we work to protect those people. I think that the two of them are intertwined. So by acting on the responsibility to care for creation, we protect and elevate our care and responsibility for the people in our communities and everyone who inhabits the earth.
Yeah, that's an important word, relationship. Pope Francis, as you know, has just written, or not just written, 5 years ago, he wrote his encyclical on caring for our common home, earth or creation, Laudato Si. And in that, he says that there are three basic or fundamental relationships, the one that we each have with God, the one that we have with each other, and the one that we have with the earth. And so, yeah, those relationships are fundamental to who we are, not only as Catholics, but as inhabitants of this world.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, I mean, right in the Bible, I mean, it's right there. You know, Genesis has a couple references where God made the heavens and the earth, and it was good. Humans are commanded to care for God's creation. Revelation, in the book of Revelations, we have creation reveals the nature of God. So when we talk in words like stewardship and responsibility and respect for one another, taking action, etc., I think that we can sum it up by saying that as Catholics, being engaged by practicing a care for creation is an obligation.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. And it's interesting, you mentioned the book of Genesis. I've always found this interesting that it's one of the obligations that we have that was not changed when man committed the first sin. Mm-hmm. You know, before the fall, the man and woman were charged with being stewards, as you say, of the earth and taking care of the plants and the animals and everything. They even had the privilege of naming those things. But afterwards, the effects of sin happened. But what they were still required to do was take care of the earth. So that stewardship was pre-lapsarian and post-lapsarian, to use odd words. Well, going back to the relationship idea, what about that relationship between human beings and creation? How would you describe that relationship? If we could maybe look at that a little bit more deeply.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we all have heard it a million times that human beings are created in the image and likeness of God, and that they truly are part of creation. Nature should not be seen as a mere object to be manipulated or exploited, and neither should it be placed above the dignity of the human person either. I think that we can develop the goods of the earth, but always within God's plan.
Yeah, so that relationship needs to be balanced. I think it says also, not in the Laudato Si, the encyclical, but in the compendium of the social doctrine of the church, that the environment, our home, can be seen as a resource, but it's also really seen as our home as well. It's both. But if we go too far on the resource side and we're not thinking about ourselves or our neighbors or people who are vulnerable, who don't have access to natural resources, then the balance is off. And that goes not only with interpersonal relationships, but relationships with countries, relationships with states, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when we begin to utilize the environment according to God's plan, it keeps us on a path of using resources in a very balanced way, in a way that doesn't destroy or overtax nature. And even though today's world sees resources as a way to make money, we cannot merely look at resources solely to satisfy a consumer appetite. We really need to be conscientious of other generations and also those who are poor and who also need these resources. We're not subject only by biological laws, but also by moral laws too.
Now that's one of the things people may find difficult to understand. It's not just about those relationships that are existing today, but as you say, that we're looking out into the future as well. People who are going to be following us, and what kind of world are we going to leave them? So that also is an important part of the relationship with others and with the environment. How do you think we can understanding that this is something taking care of the environment and using it responsibly and being aware of our relationship with each other? How can we take better care of creation? What are some of the things that we can do moving forward?
Yeah, I think that we really need at times to adopt new lifestyles. We have to look at where we are and what we're doing each day. And we have to question ourselves and reflect on how the resources that I use and that I consume are connected to others. And I need to consider the needs of others in that reflection. I think that whether a person is at home or at work, taking consideration for new programs and policies that respect nature for the betterment of everyone, not only now, but in the future, is quite important. I think also embracing an attitude of integration, always keeping in mind that helping the human being and our job is to help a human person reach their fullness of their dignity. And it's connected to the actions we take and our respect for and the relationship that we have for all of creation. And finally, I think we need to keep in mind that creation is a gift from God, which fosters an attitude of gratitude and appreciation and responsible stewardship.
And this, again, this goes back to what we talked about a little just a few minutes ago. We're also in this area of how to take care of creation. We're not only talking about individuals, again, we're talking about organizations or even nation states. They too can change their attitude. They can think of innovative ways to protect the environment. And I think one of the things that was mentioned in, again, the compendium of the social doctrine of the church was that states on a global level can implement laws that protect nature. And that's one way of respecting the environment. So there's both levels. There's the level on the individual, there's the level on the state.
Absolutely.
I think that adopting new lifestyles, that's something, I guess, that would be more accessible to the individual person, and maybe something as simple as like what we've done here at the National Office for Catholic Charities USA. We've switched over to renewable energy in our office. Mm. That's something that one company has done. Perhaps it will be an example to others, and we can kind of get that domino effect. And one person does it, one company does it, and soon you have a whole movement.
Yeah, I can tell you that in the work of disaster operations, which is where I'm from, this care for creation is very real, and we try very hard to bring it to life. In one disaster in particular, there were an enormous amount of water bottles brought into a community that did not have a recycling program. And it was clear that their neighborhoods and their homes were being completely overrun by water bottles. No one was collecting them. There was nowhere to put them. And so through the work of disaster operations and other community leaders, we did a couple things. We were able to collect the water bottles and bale them and send them to a place to be recycled. And I'll go back to that in a second. But we also spent time helping the community design a recycling program that's now taught in all the schools, as well as being upheld by the government. Now, in recycling the water bottles, what we did was work with partners in the community. We had the bottles collected, baled, and sent off to a recycler who actually turned the bottles into additional disaster supplies for the future. And great. Also took that same idea and created cloth that could be used in the community to replace some of their clothing and things that they had lost. So this is a great example on how care of creation takes care of the human being, and how we have to look at these new lifestyles and new ideas to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. That is a wonderful example. Thank you for sharing it. When we've looked now at the commandment that we have from God, the obligation that we have to take care of creation, we've looked at the relationship between human beings and nature, and talked a little bit about what we can do going forward. Is there any other things that you think that are important for people, again, who may be unfamiliar with the church's teaching on care for the common home, for our common home? Anything else that they should be aware of?
I think that, it's good to explore. It's good to get out there, to try and think and act and do. It's, we have a care for our homes. We take care of our homes quite well. Then we have to think about taking care of our larger home, and the planet? And are the things that we're doing leaving what I've learned to be called our footprints? You know, can we commute instead of, can we commute on mass transit instead of taking our own car? Can we reduce the pollution that we put in the air because of how we act? I mean,
it's a great point. What you're saying, I think, if I could put words in your mouth, you're saying we have to be mindful. We also have to be mindful. It's not enough to know about these things. It's not enough to we should all read Laudato Si. We should all read the book of Genesis and listen to God and understand what he wants us to do. But beyond that, it's about being mindful and making decisions based on what we believe and how we want the world to be. It's a great point.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered the topics that we've set out to. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with us and talk about our care for the common home.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Kim, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
You're listening to Charities at Work, a podcast by Catholic Charities USA. I'm David Warning, Director of Content Development at CCUSA. And our topic today, as you know, is care for creation or care for a common home, one of the seven themes of Catholic social teaching as outlined by the U.S. bishops. We just heard from Kim Burgo, Vice President for Disaster Operations at Catholic Charities. We discussed basically three points: why the church is concerned about caring for creation. We looked at the relationship between human beings and nature, and we talked a little bit about what we can do going forward. Right now, I'd like to welcome Scott Hurd to the podcast. Scott is Vice President for Leadership Formation at Catholic Charities USA, and he works a lot with parishes around the United States. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
We really appreciate it. We'd like to change the focus a bit now, and instead of talking about some of the concepts behind care for creation, as we did with Kim, we'd like to discuss with you some more of the practical aspects. So in your work with parishes and forming the leaders in the Catholic Charities ministry, what are some of the things that stand out from your perspective regarding the practice of caring for our common home?
Sure. Well, in the encyclical itself, there is an invitation to all of us to hear not just the cry of the earth, but also to hear the cry of the poor. Because the natural environment and the human environment, they rise and fall together. And at the end of the day, what we are doing at Catholic Charities throughout the network is striving to reduce poverty. So at a very broad level, just about everything that Catholic Charities does is, in a sense, an effort to implement this vision of Laudato Si, where Pope Francis invites us to hear that cry of the poor. However, there are many agencies collaborating with parishes that have done some remarkable and innovative things in terms of implementing the vision of this encyclical. And I can go into some specifics now. Don't know if you want to ask any question at this point.
Well, I remember, in fact, you told me one about the Catholic Charities up in Maine, that which I thought was a very innovative method or practice, which was the recycling electronic equipment.
Yes, they have a program called the EcoJoy program, and it does involve e-cycling, as it is called. But even more than that, this e-cycling effort is part of a social enterprise that has been established through Catholic Charities. A social enterprise is an effort to create an income-generating operation which has a social impact. And so you have Catholic Charities Maine working with parishes. They have these e-cycling drives. People bring in their old televisions, computers, and electronic waste that you typically can't place into a city dump. And these collected resources are then sold to a recycler, generates income, and that income in turn goes to fund educational efforts in parishes to promote the vision of Laudato Si. And one that I think is particularly touching involves a children's art project to encourage them to create works of art, you know, painting and sculpture, which helps them to express their understanding of how God wants us to care for the beautiful creation he's given us.
It really is a good program, and because it not only has all of those, as you say, it has all these varied aspects to it, and it's not only protecting the environment, which of course is very important, but it's educating, it's getting people involved, it's getting people aware of the situation and doing so in a way that gets them active and participating in the effort.
Well, I think that Catholic Charities can play a role in doing that. Laudato Si, this encyclical, is a manifestation of Catholic social teaching. Catholic Charities agencies can do a great deal in getting that teaching out within our agencies, with the dioceses that we partner with, and so forth. There are many, many great resources for promoting Catholic teaching on care of creation. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has some great resources. There are also some wonderful initiatives from the Catholic Climate Covenant that Catholic Charities USA has been in a partner relationship with for many, many years. And I know that there are numerous Catholic Charities agencies that are responsible for promoting Catholic teaching in their dioceses. And they're doing a wonderful job doing it using some of these resources.
And in fact, you, in your role at Catholic Charities USA, you put out a newsletter that also provides resources to the different agencies around the United States.
Yes, there are just new materials that are being created all the time, because Pope Francis really wants the church to appreciate the importance of our caring for creation. It's not something that's peripheral to our faith and practice as Catholics, but it's something that really much is very much is at the heart.
We talked a little bit about the Catholic Charities Agency's response. What about parishes? Are you hearing much about individual parishes and what they're doing?
Oh, yes. There are many parishes that will have care for creation teams comprised of committed laypersons who are seeking different ways to implement this vision within their faith communities. And we see some parishes doing big solar installations. We just have a handful, but I think that's a growing number. And that's paralleled by what some Catholic Charities agencies are doing. There is a commitment to reduce reliance on fossil fuels and to embrace clean energy. And there are some financial incentives that can make this very, very doable for many parishes. And not only does this sort of manifest how they care for creation, can also incur some cost savings that can be then poured into mission at the same time.
What would you say to a person who's listening? Well, this is, you know, you're talking about a nationwide network when you talk about Catholic Charities and talking about individual Catholic Charities agencies and then individual parishes. Okay, that's all fine and good. What about me as an individual? What can I do, practically speaking, to care for Earth, care for Mother Earth or our common home? It's sometimes you think, wow, this is such a big topic. This is such a huge thing. What can one person do?
Well, it might sound a little bit cliche to talk about reduce, reuse, recycle, but we can do just that. We can reduce, reuse, recycle. We can also make choices about where we purchase our materials from. The encyclical itself makes a point that one third of food that is produced in the world just goes to waste. It's discarded or it's plowed under or something. And we can be better stewards of our food. And also within the United States, we have a voice as voters. And we can speak up to our lawmakers that this is an issue that is very important to us as Catholics. Catholic Charities USA, we have a big social policy advocacy arm, and certain regulations and laws that pertain to care of creation are something that they promote. And I think that's important for individuals to recognize they have a voice in trying to affect some change.
That's a good point. And as you mentioned, it actually does, the Laudato Si, Pope Francis's encyclical on care for the common home, actually does address the individual. And as you say, you know, we can change our attitude. We can adopt a different lifestyle. These are all things that if one person does it, 10 people do it, 100 people do it, as we go, I mean, we're going to change the world. And then I think he also mentions a couple of saints in there, Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, as she's known popularly, Saint Francis, whom everybody knows, I think. And then somebody that some people may not have heard of was Charles de Foucault. But all of these people, these three people, were individuals, and they really made a great impact on not only their own time, but now we're still listening to them and trying to follow their example. So there is room for the individual.
No, there most absolutely there is. And Laudato Si speaks of that. At the same time, it offers a caution that our own individual efforts are in and of themselves not going to be sufficient to create the change that we need to really properly care for creation. And it stresses the need for international cooperation and strong political will that circles back to our being advocates for this and raising our voice in the public sphere. But you mentioned those three individuals. What else can we do? You know, David, both you and I work at Catholic Charities USA, and this may sound rather simple, but we got rid of all the plastic utensils. Because I think we were all acutely aware of the waste that was creating. And so even little simple choices like that are an important response.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, again, your point is well made that it doesn't rely on the individual, but individuals together. What is it? What's that image in scripture? I forget where. Maybe you can help me remember exactly where. But somebody takes one stick and you can break it easily. But if you have a bundle of sticks, you're not going to be able to break it so easily. And I think that's the concept that Pope Francis is urging on us. And when we're thinking about what I can do, yes, we should try to join forces with Catholic Charities, parish, our church, whatever, even government. They're a player too. They're an actor in this cause as well. So it's both.
Sure, and that's a great point that we do need to work together. One of the recurring themes in Laudato Si is that everything is connected. We are all connected by our sharing this common home. And you know, it's interesting that this encyclical is not addressed to my dear Catholics. It's addressed to all people of goodwill. It's addressed to everyone in the world because we share this home. And we're all going to be affected by what's happening to it. And there's the invitation for us to work together.
Now, that's one of my favorite aspects of Laudato Si, is that he really grounds it in relationships. And I think he says, based on his reading, Pope Francis's reading of Genesis, he says that there the according to Genesis, human life is grounded in three fundamental relationships: with God, with each other, and with the earth itself. And so I just think, and if we are respecting those relationships, then we're going to be caring for earth, and we're going to be caring for each other, and we're going to be honoring God and those efforts.
No, absolutely. And for those of us here in the United States, we have a special invitation to recall the needs of those in other countries in terms of our own disproportionate consumption of the earth's resources, you know, which is not sustainable. Pope Francis, you know, speaks about global inequality.
Right.
And this is being exacerbated by climate change, which leads to disasters, which is leading to migration and hunger and, you know, all of these human crises. Again, it's all connected, but we in the affluent West have a particular responsibility to act at this time.
Yeah. And again, another way of saying the same thing is being aware of the relationships that we have. And we do have a relationship with the people in the Amazon. We do have a relationship with people in Europe or in Africa or wherever. And another aspect that he brings out that I think we sometimes don't think about as much is we also have a relationship with future generations. What we do now is going to affect our children, our grandchildren, and people who follow us. So that's another relationship that we need to be concerned about.
Absolutely. And the encyclical speaks about intergenerational solidarity. I think that's the phrase. And
yeah.
I myself have three kids, and I know that they are all deeply concerned about climate change. And, you know, I have one of my daughters writing essays about the accumulation of plastics in the ocean. And we read about the anxiety that many people of the younger generation are facing about what the future might hold and has a real negative impact on their mental health. The encyclical says, addresses this fact. People look in the future and they're anxious. There's no longer this sort of unthinking embrace of, you know, human progress. And technology isn't necessarily going to fix this. And what can we do? And it is a concern. And so, for instance, you and I, who are not part of the younger generation, and have to be deeply cognizant of this.
I appreciate you talking, Scott, about Laudato Si, and also more generally the care for our common home. If somebody is thinking about, well, what can I do to learn more? I mean, I guess one thing, of course, would be to read the encyclical Laudato Si. But any other resources that a person may look to? Anything that you would recommend particularly?
Absolutely. Well, as you said, read the encyclical. I mean, many people hear the word encyclical and think, oh my gosh, this is going to be dense and theological and technical. It is an easy and even beautiful read. It's a thin paperback book in non-technical language. So start there. Catholic Charities USA had a magazine article, an issue that's right on the website on how Catholic Charities agencies are embracing this vision. And again, the web pages on both the site of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Catholic Climate Covenant have just a wealth of resources to help people understand what Pope Francis is trying to tell us.
We've been talking with Scott Hurt, Vice President for Leadership Formation at Catholic Charities USA. Scott, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your experience and your knowledge on the care for our common home.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've been inspired by our podcast. We ask that you pray for us and the people we serve, and consider joining our mission as a volunteer or as a donor. For more information on your local Catholic Charities Agency and the national office, be sure to visit our website at CatholicCharitiesUSA.org.